Welcome to worship at Hollywood United Methodist Church in Harmony, Toluca Lake. And happy Father's Day. I hope you were able to join us as we watched and celebrated Reverend Denise be ordained yesterday. What a wonderful, wonderful morning. And we look forward to welcoming her to the pulpit next Sunday. Let us now rejoice and sing together.
Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so grateful for this time set apart for worship and prayer today. In a world that has been topsy-turvy since the very beginning of this year, and in 2020 we barely understand, you remain constant and unyielding in your love, your support, and your strength. We thank you for the church and this community that we build in your name, and we pray that you will continue to guide our work and our ministry. This morning, we pray for those who suffer from COVID-19, who are sick, who have lost their lives. We pray for those who are recovering from illness and may bear the scars of that illness for some time. We pray for their families and all their loved ones and the worry that they carry. And we thank you for all those who continue to risk their lives to provide them with essential medical care. We pray that you will continue to walk with them on this journey to help us to find a cure. Dear God, please give all those who are in power, who oversee this moment of public health crisis, your wisdom, your extreme caution, and your common sense. Dear God, we offer up our deepest thanks for the simple things like hand sanitizers and face masks and the opportunity to create space in our lives so that we can keep each other safe. Dear God, we are so grateful that you have allowed us to be people who can make our own choices. But we pray that you will help make the choices of our larger community and ourselves wise so that we can protect the most vulnerable amongst us. Dear God, we offer our thanks for so many celebrations, for all those young people who are graduating, for an incredible Supreme Court victory that once again affirms in law that all people's rights, and especially in this moment, the rights of gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, and queer people should be protected. We thank you for the long journey of civil rights work that has brought this moment to fruition. And we invite you to show us where the next step in the works lie so that we continue to fight for justice for all people. Dear God, we confess this week and in the previous weeks, we have not known how to respond to the awakening that our country is in. The deep wound, the caustic wound of racism has been laid bare. And we all know that no matter who we are, we have had some place in it. We pray for a radical reconciliation. We pray for the continuing of truth-telling. We pray that you will pour your spirit over us and give us the strength not to look away, but instead to ask you how and why and what can I do to be of service in this moment. We're grateful that you continue to challenge us and to call us into greater purpose. We pray for our local church. We pray for ourselves. We pray for the global church that we may not be afraid to ask these difficult questions, to grapple with them, and to assert again and again and again that all are made in your image, that we are all beloved children of God, and together we must work to create a beloved kingdom, a world that reflects your calling, your faith in us, and this great and glorious love that you have bestowed upon us. There are many things in our hearts that we would like to share in prayer with you, and now we offer up just a moment of silence to do that. Thank you, God, for this place. Thank you for its people. Thank you for the church. This morning we celebrate, after a successful annual conference, the commissioning and ordination of several new leaders who have chosen to follow their vocation and their service to you. And we are especially grateful, dear God. We are especially celebratory, dear God, and thankful to lift up the name of our own Reverend Denise and her ordination as an elder in the church. We're grateful that we are part of her journey of ministry. And we pray that you will continue to inspire her, to fill her with your spirit, and to make her ministry alive in the world as she begins this next phase of her career and her life. We're so awesomely glad for the work that you have wrought through her and that you have brought to our own community. And we pray that you will continue to bless and guide her. We pray that you will continue to put the call for ministry in the hearts of many, and that we may be a community of faith that nurtures it and grows it, so that all of us might do what Jesus has called us to do, to make disciples of Christ for the transformation of the world. We offer to you now the prayer that he taught us in your name. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Hi, Denise. I just want to add my hearty congratulations to your ordination and full membership into our annual conference. Who would have guessed that we would have these circumstances that don't allow for the pomp and the circumstances of our normal ordination service? And I lament that. But I do celebrate the fact that you will be ordained. Just be on time with your colleagues for this small private ceremony and ordination service that we will be observing in June. You deserve it, and we're so glad that you're a part of our family in the full sense of the word. We continue to pray for you and your mom, especially, as she will celebrate from afar, but at least she will be there to celebrate with you. Blessings, and we'll see you soon.
Good morning and welcome to online worship with us. We're so happy to have you joined us here online for our worship this morning. There are many opportunities for you to connect further with us both online and through our social media sites, with many different ways in which you can join us for prayer, spiritual practices, small group discussions, and study. I can't list them all here, but highlighting just a few of those, I invite you to explore our next Courageous Conversations this coming Monday, June 22nd at 7:30 p.m., where we will continue the discussion on our emotions and responses to the murder of George Floyd. We are particularly grateful to the leadership of Melinda Hale in conjunction with Reverend Dave. The UMW has started a new book, Holding Up Your Corner by F. Willis Johnson. Please email umw@hollywoodumc.org to join the conversation around this book. Our regular weekly groups continue to meet and will do so throughout the summer, so please take the opportunity to connect with groups such as Spirit Pub or Church Chat. Details can be found online or in our weekly e-news. As we close out the sermon series on hope next weekend, we can look forward to our annual journey into Crossflix, examining where faith and film intersect. The first two movies will be Just Mercy and Frozen 2. From that selection, I think you can see it's going to be an interesting summer at Hollywood UMC. As we continue to navigate our new normal, we are grateful to have you with us in all we are doing to continue the mission and ministries of our church. In addition to the volunteer opportunities, there are many ways you can give to support this work in these difficult times. You can scan the QR code displayed on the screen now, follow the links on our web pages, or even mail your checks into the church directly. Everything we do is made possible by you, and we are grateful for the many ways in which you support the church and its ministries.
Giving love or support, caring,
to commit or entrust,
freely devote, set aside or sacrifice for a purpose,
provide or supply with,
bestow.
The doors may be closed, but the church is still open.
And now more than ever, Hollywood United Methodist needs our help.
In this unprecedented time in our history, we're being faced with many new challenges.
The doors of the church may be closed to parishioners right now, but the business of Hollywood United Methodist is running and committed to its mission.
However, with the absence of tithing,
cancellation of Hollywood Bowl events,
and the hiatus of filming rentals,
HUMC needs your help to keep its ministries going.
There are many different ways of giving, all while maintaining social distancing.
Visit hollywoodumc.org/donate to make your contribution today.
I've been furloughed, so money's pretty tight right now. I'm still giving my offerings, but I wish there was more that I can do to help.
You can. You can help HUMC with your essential grocery purchases by registering your Ralph's Reward card to the Community Contribution Program. You can also shop at smile.amazon.com and select Hollywood United Methodist Church as your favorite charity, and a percentage of your Amazon purchases will be donated to HUMC.
Oh, I love shopping online. By shopping through iGive, a portion of my purchases from more than 1,800 retailers goes to HUMC.
Between working from home, homeschooling my kids, and wiping down all my groceries, I'm busier than ever. What's the easiest way for me to give?
Just scan the QR code on your screen right now to be taken to the giving page.
A walk to the mailbox to send in my check is just the excuse I need to get outside today.
Heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns.
A reading from 2 Corinthians. The point is this: the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, but the one who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. As it is written, he scatters abroad, he gives to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. The one who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. For the rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ and by the generosity of your sharing with them and with all others, while they long for you and pray for you because of the surpassing grace of God that God has given you. Thanks be to God for God's indescribable gift. Word of God, words of life. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone, and to you and yours, happy Father's Day. On this special day, we honor fathers and celebrate all of the men who have made and make a positive difference in our lives. So on behalf of Hollywood United Methodist Church in Harmony, Toluca Lake, thank you. Okay, here we are, friends. Wow, 2020. It has been a whirlwind of a year, and we're not even 6 full months in. And God has been feverishly working to correct our collective off-kilter for far too long blurred vision, coming to face our own deterioration of sight so that we see what perfect vision 2020, through the clear eyes of the Lord, what that actually means. And that everything that's hanging in the balance to truly follow God's perfect 2020 vision for this broken and hurting world, well, there's two commandments. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your mind, and you must love your neighbor as you love yourself. Love. And that's a love of God and a love for the other that has to be, it must be, active and alive. This is a transforming love where generosity, it builds from within our being, and then it's got nowhere else to just pour out of us. And that marvelous generosity generates hope. A hope that is desperately sought, and it's desperately needed, most especially now. And boy, oh boy, we've been going through some challenging times, which includes us not being together in person for worship, right? I mean, crazy enough, we're at the 3-month mark. Who'd have thunk that? So this past week, I decided I'm going to go to the sanctuaries at our Hollywood and Harmony campuses and snap some photos to share with you. Because I know and I've heard how much you miss. And that's all of us miss and look forward to returning to our church buildings when it's safe and appropriate to do so. Yet I'm going to tell you, when taking these photographs, it gave me pause. Well, granted, there's rich history at both of these sites, more so at the Hollywood campus due to its majestic Gothic structure and it being a historic cultural landmark. And along with Richard Settle, one of our resident historians, I too know a lot of information about Hollywood UMC. That a vision of being a sanctuary of hope, That started way back in 1909 at the corner of Hollywood and Ivar. To later in 1927, that's when the congregation took a bold, risky step to build a new home at the base of the Hollywood Hills. And then there's Harmony at the Toluca Lake campus. And though that structure and that sanctuary is definitely smaller in size, when that faith community gathers, whoo, the amount of passion and song and praise, it just raises the roof. That joy can barely be contained. Now, as I said, though, these photographs that gave me pause. Why is that? Because it hit me that back in the day when the founders were inspired by God to build these two wonderful churches, the congregation's overflowing generosity, it wasn't about church buildings, beautiful though they may be. Their generosity was about church people who would generate hope to others in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And those church people for whom they invested were, yeah, they were certainly back then, but really what they did was they made a prudent investment for generations to come. Yeah, right? They gifted us with property and we're responsible for maintaining it. However, ultimately, what they did was they chose to invest in you and me through their resources of money, time, skills, and knowledge. You see, by putting God first, their witness and faith-driven generosity generated a hope of endless possibilities that would go far beyond their own lives. They didn't make it about themselves. And they provided us with a prophetic call to generously invest our resources for the future generations to follow in our footsteps. For the baby Siennas, Lunas, Elliots, Wesleys and Eleanors, and others in our affirming faith community. What does this look like, though, this type of generosity? Well, earlier, Rev. Kathy read the scripture that centers today's message from 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. Well, I want to first focus on the second half of that passage, verses 11 through 15, but I want you to hear the scripture with new ears. So let's go with the paraphrase from the message. Here goes. God gives you something you can then give away, which grows into full-formed lives, robust in God, wealthy in every way, so that you can be generous in every way, producing with us great praise to God. Carrying out this social relief work involves far more than helping meet the bare needs of poor Christians. It also produces abundant and bountiful thanksgiving to God. This relief offering is a prod to live at your very best, showing your gratitude to God by being openly obedient to the plain meaning of the message of Christ. You show your gratitude through your generous offerings to your needy brothers and sisters, and really toward everyone. And meanwhile, moved by the extravagance of God in your lives, they'll respond by praying for you in passionate intercession for whatever you need. Thank God for this gift, His gift. No language can praise it enough. So when I was considering these verses and reflecting upon the challenges we're currently going through in the United States, my thoughts took me back in time to another difficult period for our country and the world, the HIV/AIDS pandemic. And this is when Hollywood UMC made it boldly and abundantly clear that HUMC's doors were open and welcoming to all, when unfortunately the doors of most other churches were closed while ostracizing those in the LGBTQ community. It was during my first full year at Hollywood, and that was 1987, the first member of our church family, Lyle Loader, died of complications from AIDS. We were distraught, and great sadness continued throughout the late 80s and 90s as over 30 members of the HUMC family, they passed away. Men, women, and children. One of those persons I fondly remember was Danny Grant. He was a member of the church as well as the chancel choir. Here was a Southerner. He had a wry sense of humor, and he had one of the best singing voices you ever heard. He was very active in the life of the church until he could no longer withstand the ravages of this disease. And here's where we as a faith community lived out 2 Corinthians 9, 11 through 15. To share a bit more about Danny, let's watch and listen to what my dear friend and former member of Hollywood UMC has to say, the amazing Callan Hinman, who now lives in Asheville, North Carolina, with her awesome husband, Kelly.
Danny Grant, outspoken, outrageous, angelic, loving survivor. A man who tried to live within the confines of his Southern church's restrictions on love, gets married, has a family, leads the choir. However, he finds he cannot live a Christian life because he's gay. Try as he might, and he tries with every fiber of his being, he finally has to come to terms with and embrace the path that God has laid upon him. He loses everything. His church, his wife, his children. He's devastated. He comes to LA. He finds true love for who he is in the quirky, but all our God's beloved children, Hollywood United Methodist Church. He carries a lot of his pain with him, but he channels it with his incredible gift of singing, his outspoken views in our Bible study, and his brutally honest insights into the community he becomes a part of, challenging us and encouraging us to believe, trust, and use the talents that he sees in us, but that maybe we are just a little too afraid to see in ourselves. He becomes our friend, my friend. He becomes our family, my family. He gets sick, very sick. We visit, we bring food, we listen, we laugh, we love, we give generously, freely. We spend time with him as he gets ready to go home to the Lord. It's not easy, it's painful. It strips him of the trappings of life. Finally, he is gone. And we realize all the while, we thought that we were giving grace, being Christian, being friends, being family, helping someone out through. He was the one giving grace. His words, his truth, his vulnerability, his needs were giving to us and strengthening us and teaching us and sharing with us. He brought out Christ's light in each of us and let us see our individual beauty. He lifted us up in life, and we were able to lift him up in his passing. We are community. We exact grace in and through each other. We fill the cracks in each other's lives with love. Danny. Forever in my heart. Love you.
As Callan shared, we are community. We exact grace in and through each other. We fill the cracks in each other's lives. We're prodded, friends, by the divine creator to live at our very best, and that's together through generosity, which generates hope, and that's where our hearts are made full. Which takes us toward the first half of today's scripture reading, where verses 7 and 8 tell us, everyone should give whatever they have decided in their heart. They shouldn't give with hesitation or because of pressure. God loves a cheerful giver. God has the power to provide you with more than enough of every kind of grace. That way you will have everything you need always and in everything to provide more than enough for every kind of good work. A word here that caught my attention in these verses was heart. In connection with giving, in which there has to be an unimpeded flow within one's heart for generous giving to happen. Because if there's something blocking that flow, well, it's that restriction, and it has an adverse effect on our health and overall well-being. And that also includes our hope. Well, these heart thoughts then led me to converse with Tom Simmons. Tom attends the Harmony campus, and he's very involved in the life of the faith community. And during the coronavirus pandemic, I've been taking daily walks with Tom in the neighborhood where we both live. And separately, we've been running to stay heart healthy. With Tom, though, there's a twist to his being heart healthy. You see, October the 26th, 2016, was a pivotal moment in his life. It was on that Wednesday evening, while he was watching TV at home, Tom suffered a heart attack. And after making his way to the hospital, here's where Tom learned that one artery was completely blocked 100%, and then an immediate surgical procedure to put in a stent was required. Tom was quite fortunate in how everything went, as by the time the stent was put into place, he had only lost 9% of the strength to his heart. And in the days, weeks, and months to follow, by asking questions and following the instructions, and I'm going to say that again, following the instructions provided by his cardiologist, Tom not only regained that 9% that he had lost, he even improved the strength of his heart. Tom exercised that vital muscle so that the blood within his body would be free to flow as it was meant to be, generously flow. When I asked Tom if he felt differently after all of this had happened, he said, "Absolutely." He stated he's more energetic, happier, grateful, and he has a brighter outlook on life. Plus, he knew the key to becoming healthier was on him. The decision was his to make. For it's one thing to receive the word and what to do, but it's a whole different thing to put that word into action. Well, friends, the same applies to generosity. For true generosity comes from the heart. And we must be careful to keep the spiritual flow of our well-being clear from whatever may attempt to restrict it or block it, such as being worried we don't have enough, that's cultural pressure, or when the fear of uncertainty tries to squeeze the very life out of us. Because what affects our hearts, it also affects our minds. I want you to note what verse 8 says. It's here, it says, God has the power to provide you with. Now, who has the power? God has the power. The question is, are we open and willing to be connected to the provision of power that God has? To have everything we need and in which we then can provide for others? Because if we truly want to represent God's love, friends, that requires something of us, and it's a heart check. So what kind of condition is your heart in? Is the flow to your heart restricted in some manner? Are you willing to seek the guidance of the wise doctor who can then put you on a healthier path for true living, following the way of Christ? And are you willing to implicitly trust that divine doctor, not only receiving the word, but also putting that word into action? Are you ready, friends, to exercise that vital muscle to make the necessary change that's needed? Because when it comes to this kind of change, that means we got to step out of the comfort zone to represent God's love. And I'm going to tell you right here, right now, and what's going on in our country, we definitely have a heart check opportunity, especially for those of us who identify as white people. Because there's been a whole lot of hurting going on, and that hurt has happened for far too long to our siblings who are Black, Indigenous people of color. We've heard this. If one hurts, we all hurt, right? So we've got to step out and be open and willing to give of ourselves to learn what it means to be anti-racist, as well as to deal with issues of oppression, power, privilege, and leadership in the quest for equity and justice. To face our own prejudices and unconditional biases, to show compassion not in pitying the other, but by being in their struggle to help carry the load that they've carried for years upon years upon years. Because, my friends, that's how we love our neighbors as ourselves. And this is resurrection work. With intentionality, humility, and respect, let's challenge ourselves how we make that happen. So if you're seeking ways for further understanding and action in what it means to be anti-racist, Rev. Kathy, Rev. Denise, Pastor Bridie, and I are more than willing to share that information. And we urge you to attend tomorrow's Courageous Conversations 7:30 p.m. Zoom meeting co-led by Rev. Dave Bungie and Harmony's worship leader activist Melinda Hale, in which the conversation focuses on the sin of racism and fresh steps in which to deal with that sin. Okay, friends, I'm going to close with this. A generous spirit is about tapping into our humanity. Let's exercise our heart muscles and open our minds up to a new understanding of the presence of God, to be made more like Christ in this world, to not only generate hope, but to be the hope. Amen. Amen. Would you love me? You can.
That's what you're learning.